Coach Mike Maness. We're on the road once again, taking youngsters behind the scenes on what it's like being a major league ball player. And I got the man here for the White Sox, Kendall Graveman. How we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine.
Yes, sir.
I got a young audience out there, young aspiring high school, college baseball players. They got that dream of playing in the big leagues. You had that dream one day. What's this big league experience like for you?
Oh, man, it's really hard to describe in words. It's truly a blessing, and I've tried to show up each day and view it as that. It's just ultimately just grateful to have the experience, and I think the more days that I can show up and say, man, this is awesome, and I'm thankful that I get to play a game that I love for a living and get paid to do it is something I hope that I'll never take for granted. Mm-hmm. But just from the everyday aspect of playing baseball, it's I have a passion for this game that hasn't died yet, and when it does die, I'll leave. But hopefully that day doesn't come.
And you know, I used to coach college baseball.
Yes.
Scouted for 5 major league teams.
Okay.
Every kid dream of playing in the big leagues.
Right.
They think you guys get drafted next day you're in the big leagues.
Yeah. I didn't understand that either. When I was in high school and college, I didn't fully understand what it all took to get to the big league level. But I'm a guy that always tries to figure things out. And once I got drafted, I actually gave myself a 3-year period, and I was going to reevaluate where I was after 3 years of being in minor league baseball. Now, I was fortunate enough to have already debuted within that 3-year period of getting drafted. But it is very difficult. I mean, you have 7, sometimes even 8 teams. I know now it's changed a little bit in the minor leagues, but before you even step foot on a major league baseball field, that's inside of the organization. So there's a lot of talent that just in the minor league level that you have to compete against. And I think the best way to go about it is always cheer for your teammates to do well. And I think competing against each other but on the same team is something that happens, but it can be a positive thing, and it can raise everyone's level of how good they are if you do it in the right manner.
I think when I interviewed Mark Burley some years ago,
yeah,
he said some of the best players in the minor league never make it to the major leagues.
That's right. And a lot of it comes down to, and I played with Mark Burley when I debuted in Toronto, and it was somebody that I'd always looked up to. And I mean, I believe he had 14 straight seasons of 200-plus innings or more, and that's something that I admired at the time, being a starter. And for me personally, I think there's an aspect of work that gets overlooked. And sometimes the talent that doesn't work, that it doesn't make it. And sometimes the guy that's not as talented that actually puts in work and becomes a better baseball player day in and day out is somebody that can have a successful big league career. And yourself being a scout for a long time, I know you understand that aspect of it, but we'll never be able to put a tangible number on that mentality or the work ethic. And that's what makes the scouting world unique, and also makes guys come to the big leagues. And then also prospects that are very talented sometimes may not make it because of that simple fact of how often do you work, and there's a 4-month, 5-month period in the off season where no one's watching and you feel anonymous, that if you don't put in work in those days, you can actually take a step backwards. So I challenge everyone listening as a young player to continue to work day in and day out and try to make yourself better.
So, you know, a lot of guys, again, think you guys in the minor league, they think it's the big leagues. I mean, what about that role? What about the hotels in the minor leagues?
Yeah, it's I actually was able to experience it after I'd been a big leaguer. I went through Tommy John surgery, and when I was doing my rehab, I actually won a championship with in the Cubs organization with the South Bend Cubs. And I was able to travel on the bus through the cornfields of the Midwest going to Clinton, Iowa, and we went on. I remember staying at the Americ Inn, and it was probably a hotel that it couldn't have been more than like $49 a night probably. And it was just, it's one of those things that you look back and you are grateful for the experience. But sometimes guys get complacent and think that is their big leagues when they get drafted. And I was sitting there just reminiscing on the times that I played in the Midwest League and didn't know any better, but then experiencing the big leagues and staying at 4 seasons and places like that. And then going back to the American, it was different. But I respect those
different
guys.
With roommates and all
that's
of
right.
that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
A few more pillow fights,
that's
maybe.
Right.
Week.
Yeah, no doubt.
And what about, I mean, you know, you come in here, you got chefs that prepare your meals for you, this and that. I mean, Tori Hart told me about the peanut butter jelly and salami sandwiches.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where I talk about being grateful. I try not to take that for granted, because when you show up every day and you do have someone cleaning your cleats every day and someone preparing you pretty much whatever you want here at the big league level, I mean, even traveling like to New York and going on the visiting side, it's steak and lobster mm-hmm. if you wanted it every day. And just trying to have that ounce of gratitude of being thankful for that, but also reminiscing back on the PB&Js that I made for myself with a bag of Cheetos, you know, to get me through a day. It is something that I remember buying some ribeyes and throwing them on a George Foreman and thinking that was like a meal in the minor leagues with seven guys living in a house, you know. It was fun times though, and I mean during those times I still keep up with a lot of the guys that I live with. Yeah. It bonded you in a way that you really can't explain.
And then, you know, people don't understand, as an athlete in general, football, basketball, mm-hmm. baseball, the team is like a family. You bond.
That's right.
I mean, 40 years I coached, and you know, I had guys from his high school, 17 years old. You know, I see them now, we pick up what we left off with. I ask them how old you are. They tell me 50. I'm like, what?
Right.
You know, the memories are still back in your mind from them young days.
Yeah, and I think my dad coached, and he's still coaching high school baseball. He coached and was a PE teacher for 32 years. Mm-hmm. And now he's retired from being a PE teacher, but he still coaches. And that's one of those things that when we get together, we talk about the good times that we had and the teammates that I was playing with at the time and he was coaching, because he was able to coach me in high school, and some of the funny moments and the things that you'll never forget. And even in college, when I go back to Mississippi State and I'm able to talk to those guys when we have reunions, baseball reunions, because we went from being the worst team in the SEC in 2010 to being runners-up at the College World Series in 2013. So we mm-hmm. experienced a lot. And that bond, even the college bond, I think that's why I stress a lot of times for kids coming out of high school to go to college and experience that, the growth that happened and just the memories and the development of a person and a maturity mm-hmm. that happened. I don't think I'd be a big leaguer without college, and also just like I said earlier, the memories are something that you can't replace.
Let me ask you these last two questions.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you think about being in the big leagues, you think about the experience, I mean, that journey you traveled, I mean, do you just sometimes just pinch yourself?
I do. I mean, I have those thoughts, and I'll even look at my wife sometimes and say, like, why me? Why me? And I believe I'm blessed and I have influence for a reason. I believe there's favor on my life for a reason, and I believe I'm supposed to handle that properly for a younger generation. And I believe I'm blessed to be a blessing to others, whatever that looks like on a day-to-day basis. But there are many times that I find myself thinking, man, how come me out of anyone? And even like walking out to the bullpen every day, when I cross that line, I try to look around the stadium and I just say thank you for allowing me to be able to do this. I thank the Lord every day when I walk out there. Thank you for allowing me to be able to do this. And I look at my wife and I say, hey, we do this for a purpose. Like, we're here. I was created on purpose and for a purpose, and I'm in this locker room for a reason. And I try to view it every day when I step in here in that aspect.
And when you got that call, you're coming to the big leagues for the very first time.
Yes.
Walked in that locker room and saw your uniform hanging up. What was your thoughts?
Ooh, it was a whirlwind, because I didn't know anyone there. I'd never been in a big league camp in spring training, and I went from low A to the big leagues that year. So I've sent out a lot of text messages that day, thanking high school coaches, college coaches, my dad, my family, my mom, my brother, But it was special to see, walk in a locker room that's so nice and see your jersey hanging up. And you are now a part of, in that time when I was with Toronto, some guys that had some pedigrees on that team that were really, really good. You have this sense of I don't belong, but then you have to fight that mentally of like I'm here for a reason because they believe in me, and I got to go out now and prove that I'm here to stay. And you always fight those when you're a young guy, the mental battle of going through and saying I'm a big leaguer now, and your mind saying that you're not good enough. So I did, I'm not going to lie, I sat there and I gave up a run. I faced one hitter and gave up a hit, and then I got pulled before the three batter minimum, and I battled it for a little bit. But the initial response was, man, this is pretty cool.
Did you cry?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a crier by nature. So,
finally got somebody in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Coach on the road with the man, KG.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.